Okay, this is item number seven. This is a briefing. Jennifer Kwan, welcome.
Madam Chair, Commissioners, my name is Jennifer Kwan. I'm a Special Assistant to the Director. And for those of you who don't know me or don't know me in that role, I cover salmon recovery and federal affairs. And today I'm here to give you an update mostly on the federal budget conditions and a little bit of information on a few other federal things I'm involved with. So just as a quick overview of what I define as federal affairs. So from my chair, I do the best I can to track our federal budgets, to track federal legislation that might have impacts on some of the work we do, as well as act as a liaison between our staff who are working on large-scale projects that may require delegation support or DC-level agency support as well. I also work to develop a good working relationship with our congressional delegation and especially the natural resource staff that work for our delegation. I serve generally as the point of contact for inquiries coming in and outreach that needs to go out. I also am the point of contact and coordination with the governor's Washington, D.C. office. Sam Ricketts, who works out there, works for the governor, and I work very closely on Washington, D.C. level issues. I work with federal stakeholders like the federal components of the Nature Conservancy, CCA, like that as well, partner where we overlap with similar agendas and initiatives. Been working with the Northwest Indian Fishery Commission to see where we have common messages that we can share out there, and that will continue on as well, and then work with my other counterparts in other state agencies where sometimes we will message for each other and with each other. So federal funding is, of course, a big deal to this agency. About 30% of our operating budget is made up of a range of federal funds. I've provided a list of some of the major ones there. It's not exhaustive, but it gives you an idea of the range of funding that we have in our budget. In just a little more detail, this graph shows the percent of federal funding by reported WDFW activities. These are the activities we report out to our state legislature, but this just illustrates that federal funding is prevalent in everything that we do, and in some cases, pretty significant. So if you bear with me on the next couple slides, there's nothing warm and fuzzy or finny or there aren't acres and acres of lands in here, but if you can bear with me, it'll give you an idea of where we are at the federal level, the conditions that are in play there, and kind of what we've got looking ahead. So at the federal level, a good chunk of the budget conditions today are driven by the Budget Control Act of 2011. So in 2011, this came in right after the recession, right after there was a huge infusion of stimulus spending that Obama had just to get us past that the 2007-2009 recession. And so this Budget Control Act was intended to bring spending limits back in control. And what it did is it set discretionary spending caps for about 10 years. It brought in the super committee. Do you guys remember the super committee? And then it also set sequester cuts if the super committee was not successful in handling some of the big cuts they were supposed to get to. We did see that they were not successful at that time, and in 2013, we saw the sequester cuts coming. There, subsequently, the American Taxpayer Relief brought a little bit of relief to those cuts, but not in its entirety. So in 2013, the federal budget we got was a continuing resolution of the 2012 budget plus sequester cuts, which for us was about 6% to a number of our funds. And I'll show you some examples of that in a little bit. And then this year, in December, Congress and the President passed the budget, Bipartisan Budget Act. And what that did is it set new discretionary spending caps, replaced them, the ones that were in the Budget Control Act of 2011, for just 2 years. It reduced the Budget Control Act cuts by half for this fiscal federal fiscal year, and then by a quarter for federal fiscal year 2015. So we'll see slightly bigger cuts as we move into 2015. And it also removed kind of the across-the-board cuts. Clearly, there's reductions in spending, so cuts still need to happen. So I've characterized it that the cuts are only half as bad as we thought they were going to be. But what this does, it gets us through the election year. This is an election year. So they've done their work in setting those spending caps. When we have new members of Congress coming in, the sequester cuts will come back and we'll probably be going through another round. So just a little bit more to talk about the federal budget. Federal spending is categorized into three different components, and two of them are relevant to WDFW. The mandatory spending is spending on things that are authorized outside the annual appropriation process. So there are things like Medicare, they're most of the entitlement things. For WDFW, the revenue that's generated from excise tax of off of sales of hunting and fishing gear, the Dingell Johnson and PR money is in the mandatory category. But all the rest of our funds are in the discretionary category. And if you recall the last slide, most of what was being managed in the last slide in the Budget Control Act were all discretionary funds. So in 2011, when the Budget Control Act came into play, you'll see that discretionary spending started going down. The intent there was that by 2013, discretionary funds will be about 5% of federal spending, so that discretionary line will continue to get smaller. This green line, or the green part, mandatory spending, is pretty much in response to the demographic trends of people retiring, a large population retiring, and being eligible for a lot of those funds. All this to say that discretionary fundings are very important to the agency, and if trends continue in the way they are, we're going to be having more fights over fewer dollars. So here's just some examples of where federal budget reductions have been starting to impact WDFW. In 2013, the across-the-board cuts in the sequester came at about 6%. For some of the programs, we were able to do some short-term fixes, but those are going to come at the cost of, we'll pay for those in a few years if funding is not restored at the federal level. For other programs, like our Marine Mammal Stranding Network, we were zeroed out that year, and we have since then pulled back to a bare minimum of our participation in the Marine Mammal Stranding Network. So it varies across the agency about where we have short-term capacity to handle some of these cuts. But for the most part, I would say the capacity in the department to sustain continued cuts is shrinking pretty rapidly. In Federal 14, we're still understanding what that budget looks like. The omnibus package that was passed last month in Congress allocated the funds to all the agencies, so those are still trickling through. We may find out next month about some of them, but it may be until June until we understand the full impact. But these are what you're seeing here are some early indications of some cuts we're going to have to prepare for. At this point, I want to highlight and provide a little more detail on a few federal funding sources that are at risk, meaning that if we see continued cuts to these funds, they are likely to have some significant impacts to the work that we do. And specifically, these are the funds that support sustainable fisheries and salmon conservation funding. The Pacific Coastal Salmon Recovery Fund, at the best of times, was funded nationally at $110 million. However, for at least the past 2 years, it's been at $65 million. This year, Senator Murray was able to champion this fund and keep it at $65 million, but she prevailed in the face of the House and the President's budget looking to cut it at almost 46%, so as much as half of this. So we have champions there, but that's a pretty heavy lift. If that fund drops below $65 million, I think you would see the activities that it supports in WDFW all but disappear. So that we're working really hard. We have a lot of support for that one. But you can see here what it supports. Within NOAA's Salmon Management Account, the Mitchell Act and Pacific Salmon Commission funds are also at risk and in decline in many cases. Last year, as noted on my previous slide, Mitchell Act took a 6% reduction in its operating funds. So those are funds we use to operate all our Mitchell Act hatcheries in the Lower Columbia River. And this year, we're looking at another additional 5%. So it doesn't go back to what it was and takes 5. It's additional. So over the last 2 years, if that comes to fruition, about 11% reduction in funding for operating. Now, for the Pacific Salmon Commission, the U.S. Commerce Department has provided level funding for our participation and some of the science we provide. Since about 1985, it's been level funded. The situation we're in there is that with cuts that have happened in the past and money brought into backfill, the backfill funds are now starting to run out and haven't been replenished. And the last one I would point you to is Dingell Johnson. Again, this is a mandatory account, so there's not a lot we can do there except buy more boats and fishing gear. But we have also seen a steady decline in revenue in the Dingell Johnson funds. Since about 2009, we've seen a close to 20% reduction in the amount of funding there. We'll be down about $1.8 million from the 2009 levels. So added together, all these cumulative cuts start to create a pretty daunting picture at best. And while the funding directly impacts what we do, we also can look downstream and see how it clearly impacts and correlates with the fishing opportunities that we're able to provide. So with that, we've more than begun. We are moving ahead to build a strategy and look to see what we can do to get those funds restored. And also with that, we have started some outreach with some of our stakeholders. So last week, I believe it was, we met with stakeholders, commercial and recreational fishers from the Lower Columbia River, from the coast, and from Puget Sound to start some information sharing and initial brainstorming. The outcome of the meeting was positive, I would say. There was an agreement among those groups to come behind some consensus messaging around these funding sources and work together to get them restored. And Director Anderson, you have a handout there, too. I was going to share with you all the handout that we shared with the stakeholders that have some baseline information about these funds. And Director, I don't know if you had any more reactions.
Just on, no, I don't need, on that point, I had mentioned to the commission at the January meeting that we were planning to pull together a group of stakeholders to discuss the federal budget issues that we have. And that, at least in part, was the purpose of the meeting. I was really pleased, blown away a little maybe, at the response that we got. Virtually everyone that we asked to come came, and or there were a couple that would have been there. However, they were in D.C. working on federal budget issues, and probably among other things. So had a really good response. We had a really good discussion. We had people sitting around the table who, on other issues, haven't seen eye to eye for quite some time. So we had commercial and recreational interests, Puget Sound, Columbia River, coast. So it was a good opportunity to talk with everyone, and we did go out of there with a kind of a consensus that we were all going to work together to try to address these really difficult funding issues that we have in the different categories that Jennifer's talking about and the ones that I have been briefing you on throughout the course of the fall and winter.
So next steps. So this year I'm currently working to better and hopefully strategically align the department's opportunities for action with the federal budget process. This slide shows a bold underline the next, they're very high level, but the next high level steps that are to occur at the federal budget level, and below just a brief description of some of the work the department will be doing concurrently with those steps. So one of the most pressing will be this month working on a joint letter, which was one of the outcomes of our stakeholder meeting from last week. The intent there is to set the stage and establish the funding needs and the accounts that I last referenced in the last slide, and that's prior to the president's budget coming out. Additionally, I've been working with the governor's staff, and there may be an opportunity for the governor to weigh in with the Office of Management and Budget later this month, so we're trying to coordinate that. In March, after the release of the president's budget, we will be developing a response on how the proposed funding levels could impact the agency and their activities. We'll be coordinating again with the governor's office in D.C. on what our federal requests will be for all of the federal accounts that we have interest in. And then we will start to submit and work with the congressional members on those levels and hopefully have them adopt them as their priorities. I will also kick off a set of series of in-state meetings. So when delegates are in state, working to meet with them and bring stakeholders along, we also are starting to set up some field tours where we can get the members and their staff out on site as well. In April, Director Anderson and myself will travel to D.C., where we'll focus our meetings with the Office of Management and Budget, federal agency leaders, and our congressional members with a focus on this fiscal year 15 budget, as well as looking ahead at the 16 budget. That's the agencies will start in earnest, the federal agencies start in earnest in April, working on the year out budget. So we'll be dropping some hints about what we'd like to see there. And then if all goes well, the federal 15 budget in October will be in place prior to the elections. Our funding will be restored. We'll see FY16 stabilized, and we'll start working on our 17 priorities. Mm-hmm. Trying to be positive in this happy conditions. And lastly, I've spent most of the time talking about budget issues, but wanted to quickly highlight, and I'd reference those that are highlighted in orange here, a few project priorities. So for the Yakima Basin Integrated Plan, I'm sure you all have heard about Tianaway and the success we've had in attaining state funding for part of the Yakima Basin Integrated Plan. The next step now is to bring federal dollars to that project. So working with the governor, with the Department of Ecology, and a few others, we're looking to secure funding in the Bureau of Recreation's budget, as well as authorizing language that'll let us spend that money. For WDFW, the outcome and focus with that federal fund would be is creating passage at the Clay Elum Reservoir, where there currently isn't. It's a big deal. Passage there could restore one of the biggest sockeye runs in the lower 48 states. So that's a worthy cause. It's probably many years down in the making, but that's what we're working on there. The Puget Sound Nearshore Estuary and Restoration Project has also been in the works for over 12 years. It's a joint project with the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, and we are what we're hoping to be in the last stages of the approval process with the Army Corps of Engineers. In the next few years, if we're successful with that, we'll see a chief's report that would bless about $1 billion worth of projects for the Puget Sound and Nearshore. And then once we get that report, we'll be working to get it authorized under the Water Resources Development Act. So some big projects coming up.
Would that apply to coastal area too, or just Puget Sound?
So the projects are well-defined right now. There's 11 projects, and it's Puget Sound for now. And then the other one I would just highlight is we're tracking reauthorization proposals for the Magnuson-Stephen Fishery Conservation Act. Our own representative, Doc Hastings, has put a proposal out on the MSA, so we're currently tracking those, writing comments, and engaging with his staff and other folks. We expect to see a Senate version of that bill come out in March as well. And lastly, I would just share with you a list. So I've been in this job now for a year, and these are some of the things that have come across my way when I'm working with our congressional delegation. So I wanted to share with you this list, mostly to show you that it's a diverse list. It touches fish and wildlife issues statewide, and so I think it illustrates a strong interest in fish and wildlife. It also, when we have these opportunities and inquiries, provides us the opportunity for rich dialogue to improve our relations, grow and improve our relations with our federal folks, and hopefully have good outcomes for fish and wildlife in Washington State. So that's all I have. Thank you for your time today, and I'll take questions.
Okay, questions? Great presentation, very pithy, succinct. Well, then, given that in the past couple months we've been hearing a lot about BPA and the biological opinion, as well as the Code of Wire tagging programs, funding, you don't have to go into great detail, but how do you see the biological opinion issue evolving in the next, say, year or two? Are there going to be lawsuits? You know, what can we expect? We haven't been briefed on the biological opinion yet.
I don't have the... There's some other staff that are probably better suited to answer that question. I would just be speculating from my own opinion at this point. So I would suggest that we could get those staff.
We asked for a briefing at some point. Do you know when that's going to be, Director Anderson?
No.
Okay.
How about, let's see, in March we're in Moses Lake, right? April... here, so probably
April might be better. Okay, all right. Well, that certainly it certainly caused a lot of exchanges of communications, I think the what we heard pretty loud and clear was that the governor was very, very interested in the subject and would be taking the lead in that whole decision about what Washington's position was going to be. So we're interested in the complexities of that and how the balance is struck. Yeah, you sure have a wide portfolio. Very impressive. And it must be very interesting, too, especially in these times. Okay, any questions about, well, good luck. Thank you, very important work.